Philippians chapter number 2, and reading. I'll begin in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I'm going to just stop reading right there. We have the reading here of Philippians 2, 1 through 11. And it tells us of Christ as a servant. The example of Christ as a servant. And the Bible said that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen. Then it says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him. Now, in the remainder of this chapter, you're going to find the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Philippian church, and he's got a great desire to come and to be with them. But he's offering to send two servants. One is Timothy, and you'll find him speaking about him from verse 19 down through verse 24. And then Epaphroditus. And Paul speaks of him from verse 25 on down through verse 30. And I just want us to see some things about, having the heart of a servant. And really what it is for you and I to be the servant that God would have us to be. I wrote this down. I read this. Somebody else had written it, and I'm not sure exactly who, but it said, cultivate a servant's heart. Endure a servant's hardships, and we will receive a servant's honor. And I thought, how right that is. How good that is. First, we need to cultivate a servant's heart. So many times in the ministry, when I say the ministry, I don't just mean preachers and preaching. We are all in the ministry. God has saved us and put us in the ministry. He has put us in the church, and he has something for us to do. Many times people, they want a position. Or they want, you know, to be put somewhere. And then they want to try to be the servant in that position that they need to be for God. And that's the opposite of the way that God wants us to be. God wants us to be a servant in waiting. It's like the great example of David's five smooth stones. There they were, just stones in a creek. But they had been turned by the water and had been beat on, and they had gotten to the place where they were smooth, just waiting for the time that somebody would pick them up and then use them. You and I, just like these men, I want us to see some things about these men tonight that will help you and I to have that servant's heart. And then we'll be ready for whatever that it is that God would have us to do. God wants us to do something. But like I said, so many times you get young men, they want to be a pastor. They want to be a preacher. They want to be the overseer. And then if they find a place where they can step in, then they try to be the preacher that they need to be. When we need to be what we need to be for God, and then let God put us somewhere. Let God use us. He gave Christ as the great example. He told the church, he said in verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed," ye have always obeyed. Here they were, a group of Christians, this church, that as far as Paul the apostle knew, they were obedient to the Lord and to his word. He said, "You have always obeyed. Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." In other words, you know, he was saying, you didn't just do right just when I was there. You obeyed when I wasn't there. There is the servant's heart. You know, to live for the Lord, to try to strive in this thing we call Christianity, to press toward the mark when the preacher and the deacon's not looking. Amen? On the other end, when the church is not looking on. You have always obeyed. And he said in verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you." You need to remember this. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's where you and I need to be first. Yep. As servants. Letting God work in us his will and his good pleasure. Well, I'm not a song leader. I'm not a deacon. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I'm not this or that. If you're a saved child of God, you need to let God work in you his will and his good pleasure. Amen. God works in you his will and his good pleasure. Then God can use you for whatever God wants to use you for. Do all things. He told them how to do these things. He said in verse 15, "That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke." At the end of verse 15, he said, "Among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life." Look what Paul said to him. "That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." See, Paul saw the Philippians they were his labor. And he didn't want to get before Christ and find out All of that was just hay, wood, and stuff. I want to tell you what, there's going to be a lot of men that's going to have a lot of their works burned up. You know why? It's all this quick and easy stuff. And the realness wasn't there in the people's hearts and lives. I mean, I'm talking about, churches are filled with people in some of these bigger places. Filled. And I believe that a lot of them are lost, just as lost as they can be. They have not made the steps that Christ said a man must make to be saved. And the preachers are not preaching it. And that scares me about the condition of so many of them. And Paul said, I don't want to find out that I've labored in vain, that I've run in vain. And he said this, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. I mean, Paul, he knew what it was to be a soul winner. Amen? And he wanted them to be true spiritual laborers. True spiritual servants. And if his life, if all that he had poured into them, if it was he was offered up upon the sacrifice and service of their faith, he said, I joy and rejoice with you. Now, looking at Timothy, in verse 19, he said, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy as shortly unto you. The first thing I see about the Apostle Paul is that, listen, he didn't just think this was a good idea. He said, I trust in the Lord Jesus. I believe Paul sought the Lord in prayer as to who it was he needed to send to the Philippians. He said, I trust in the Lord Jesus. There is our first step in servitude, trusting in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Finding out what it is that he would have us to do. Yes. Seeking the Lord as to our servitude. Lord, can I do something for you today? Lord, can I do something for your church today? David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I mean, think about that. I trust in the Lord Jesus. I trust. He was trusting the Lord, seeking the Lord to send Timothy shortly, that I also may be of good comfort. It wasn't going to be just a comfort to them. Paul was going to be comforted knowing that Timothy was there. Timothy would be there as the servant because Paul knew what kind of a servant he already was. If it be the will of God, I'm trusting the Lord. I believe that I can send Timothy to help the Philippians. You know, that's exactly what the Lord did. Listen, I'm not Timothy. I'm not Paul. I'm far from what those men of God were. But I know the Lord sent me here. And I am trusting that the Lord sent me here. Amen. And just like Paul is saying, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. When I know that they are okay, that they are walking. He said, I have no greater truth than to know that my children walk in truth. These were some of his children. He said, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. If I'm understanding that right, this was what Paul was saying. I don't know of anybody else that's got the same mind that I have toward you, that'll care about you the way Timothy will. I've looked this over and looked this over, for I have no man like-minded. I mean, to be like-minded just like Paul. That was Timothy as a young preacher. He wanted to be just like the Apostle Paul. He wanted to preach like the Apostle Paul. He believed what that man of God had to say. He believed in his convictions. Amen? He believed in his walk. He believed in his doctrine, amen? Right. Then Timothy was like-minded. I mean, if you'd have heard Paul preach, and then you'd have heard Timothy preach, you'd have heard two men preaching a whole lot alike. Nope. As far as their belief, I mean, I don't think Timothy would have said, now, you know, Paul sees things this way, but now I don't see it that way. I see it this way. That was not Timothy. Yeah. Timothy was like-minded to Paul. And he would naturally, just like Paul, had a natural care for them. Why? He'd won them to the Lord.
Right. Amen.
When you win somebody to the Lord, you feel like that you are responsible for them, like a child. And we are. We should take them in. When you win somebody to the Lord, you take them under your wing.
Amen.
Like a child, like a son or a daughter. And you teach them the ways of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And he said, who will naturally care for your state? Just as, I mean, the same heart, the same mind, the same natural care. Timothy had that. Timothy had that. He said, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. So many people seek their own will, their own way of wanting, their own way of thinking, and not the things of Christ's. A servant is bent to his Lord.
Right.
A servant is submitted to his Lord.
Amen.
But so many seek their own.
Yep.
Seek their own. Amen. If you and I are going to be the servants of God, we can't seek our own. We have to seek his.
Amen.
Seek the Lord's.
Amen.
Amen. The things which are Jesus Christ. Because we're not our own anymore. We're bought with a price, the Bible said. So I cannot do the things that I would. But so many, they are seeking their own. They are doing it the way they want to do it, the way they see it, the way they believe it, the way they think it ought to be done, and not the way that Christ would have it to be.
Amen.
You and I must be bent to his will, bent to his servitude, submitted under his hand. Paul said, but you know the proof of him. They knew the proof that came with Timothy. He had proved himself. He had certainly proved himself to the Apostle Paul. But Paul was going one step further, and he said, you know the proof of him. You know the proof of him. Doesn't the Bible say, to know them which labor among you? You listen, you don't just throw anybody up in the pulpit. A church never does that. You want to know somebody.
Amen.
You know, put somebody in a position, put somebody as a Sunday school teacher or choir leader or whatever that it is. You want to know them.
Right.
You want to know who they are. You want to know what they believe. You want to know their character.
Right.
You want to know how submitted to the Lord they are. Amen? Do they seek their own? Are they always doing their own selfish thing, looking their selfish ways? Or are they submitting to the Lord in everything? In everything, giving thanks. He said, but you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Just like a son with his father. John, help me out here. You're the father, okay?
Okay.
I'm your little son. You know what a little son is always doing when he's with his father, when he's with his daddy? Always looking up at him. He's always wanting to know, is he looking at me? What does he think of me? Can I please him? I want to please him. I want to be just like him. I can remember when, thank you, son. I can remember when I was a little boy, I thought my dad hung the moon. He's 82nd Airborne. He had a picture of when he was in the 82nd Airborne. And he, in the picture, there's one of them planes standing behind him, and it had a big propeller. And my dad had reached up with his hand and had a hold of that propeller. And I was convinced. I went around the elementary school showing everybody, said, look at my dad holding the plane up. My dad is the toughest man walking on the face of this earth. He's 82nd Airborne. Look at that. I thought the world of him.
Yep.
He was my dad.
Yep.
I wanted to be everything he was.
Yep.
I wanted him to see me. I was constantly, dad this, dad that. He reminded me of it here several years ago. When I was a little boy, he said, you used to follow me everywhere, dad this and dad that. What about this dad and what about that dad? And, you know, Paul said that Timothy, as a son with the father, he has served with me in the gospel.
Amen.
If Paul got in trouble, Timothy did too.
Yeah.
If Paul was preaching, if Paul was going, Timothy was going.
Yeah.
That servant's heart.
Amen.
He said, him therefore I hope to send presently. I mean, right now. I know you need him now. A servant is a now servant. He needs to be ready now. You see, Paul wasn't going to send Timothy and then hope he got ready. Hope he became what they needed. He was what they needed. And he was ready to be with them. Presently. Presently. You and I need to be a servant presently. A ready servant. Paul said, I'm now ready. He's talking about going home. Amen. But he stayed ready.
Right.
Yep.
Stayed ready to go. Whatever the Lord would have him to do. He said, him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me.
Yep.
Paul said, as soon as I know, one way or another, he wanted to be able to send Timothy with him or without him, but with the news of how Paul was one way or another. But I trust in the Lord, there it is again, that I also myself shall come shortly. Listen, Paul didn't even want to go there if it wasn't God's will. But he sought God and he said, I'm trusting it's the Lord's will that I'm going to get to come there too. I'm going to get to come shortly. Now, he goes on now with with Timothy. That's the first servant. Here's the second servant, Epaphroditus. Timothy, He was the faithful Timothy. And Epaphroditus, he was going to be the messenger of the church. He said, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Now listen, he's sending Timothy. And Paul wants to go himself and believes he'll get to. But he said, it's necessary that I send Epaphroditus too. My brother, listen. Here's his credentials as a servant. Paul said, he's my brother. Spiritual family. Timothy, my son. Epaphroditus, my brother. You see the difference? Epaphroditus was actually the stronger of the two. Timothy became a great pastor. Here. But listen, at this time, he's like the son with the father. Epaphroditus is like the brother to a brother. And companion in labor. He said he's a companion in labor. You know what one labor needs? Another laborer. One labor needs another laborer. Jesus sent his disciples out in twos, didn't he? You know why? That every word would be established. Especially in the day and time, and they were the same way. I mean, people, they could tell any kind of lie on you. But if it's two, every word can be established. You can help one another. You can co-labor together and help one another. A laborer needs another laborer. He needs a companion. And fellow soldier. You talk about a soldier for Christ, Epaphroditus was. When Paul said he's a fellow soldier, it makes me think, this man, he had on the whole armor. This man was a prayer warrior.
Amen.
This man, he was a man that could endure hardness as a good soldier. He was a fellow soldier, but your messenger. He's my fellow soldier, but he's your messenger. Your messenger. He that ministered to my wants. Ministered to my wants. Listen. I believe the Apostle Paul was a very educated man. And I believe the Apostle Paul, under inspiration, said exactly what he meant. You know what Epaphroditus did for Paul? He didn't only help provide his need. He was a companion to him. He was a fellow soldier to him. He was a brother to him. A laborer, a companion. But he also ministered to his wants. If there was something that Paul, it wasn't necessarily a need, it was a want. Epaphroditus loved him enough to get it for him. Paul, you want that? I'll get it. If you want it, I'll do it. If you want me to do it, if you want me to get it, I'll do it. What a servant. What a servant. Amen? I mean, he sees something that needs to be done. He wasn't necessarily waiting for the Apostle Paul to bend his back over. No, he was the one to do the bending. He would have done the heavy lifting. Right? These guys, I've known men that, you know, had workers
you can tell when one's a good laborer and one's lazy laborer. You're digging a hole out of your yard, John, the boss don't need to be the one in the ditch with the shovel. The laborer needs to be there. Say, boss, you want that hole dug?
I'll take that shovel. I'll dig that hole. You tell me how deep and how wide.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah, he ministered to my wants. And he said this, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that he had been sick. Listen, Epaphroditus had a genuine heart for these people. A real heart for them. A real heaviness. Just like Paul to his Hebrew brethren. He said, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow. He said, Epaphroditus longed after y'all, was full of heaviness. He said, cause that ye had heard that he had been sick. He got sick one time and they had heard about it. And he was touched by it. And he longed after you all. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, verse 27. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. You talk about a friend. Epaphroditus was a friend to Paul.
Amen.
If God would have took Epaphroditus, Paul would have had great sorrow upon sorrow.
Yep.
Why? He was a companion, a fellow soldier, a true messenger. And he ministered, Paul said, to my wants. Verse 28, I sent him therefore the more carefully that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice and that I may be the less sorrowful. Now, I don't know what all this entails, but look what he's, I sent him therefore the more carefully. Maybe, I don't know, but maybe the Apostle Paul secured passage for Epaphroditus that wasn't in the bottom of a cold ship. He sent him more carefully. Maybe he sent him on a better route. Maybe he sent him on a better vessel. And he couldn't have done that without these Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, this church was the only church that supported Paul in his missionary journeys when nobody else was supporting.
That's right.
Yep. Amen.
And Paul promised them in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need. That's the Philippian church.
Yep.
He said, I sent him therefore the more carefully. And like I said, I don't want to add anything to God's word. I'm saying this is just a thought that I've had. I'm not sure exactly that that's exactly what that's saying. But how else would he send him more carefully? That when you see him again, you may rejoice. Could you imagine if Epaphroditus would have showed up? And he was nigh unto death.
Nope.
They wouldn't have rejoiced, would they?
Nope.
They would have been in heaviness.
Yep.
And that I may be the less sorrowful. It had everything to do with making sure that Epaphroditus the servant, the fellow soldier, the co-laborer, companion, brother, made it to them safe, that they could rejoice, and that Paul could hear it, and instead of hearing he's bad, sick, or nigh death, and be very sorrowful, Paul would be able to rejoice as well. That I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness. And look at this. And hold such in reputation. Now I know what that means. When Epaphroditus gets to you, look at it carefully. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. He said, if there's a man that's got a laborer's reputation, it's got a servant's reputation, that loves the Lord, that loves you, that cares about your spiritual benefit, is this man. Don't, when he gets there, in other words, when he gets there, don't say, well, we don't really know what kind of fellow this is. No, he said, you hold him in reputation. This is the man of God. This is the co-laborer with Paul. It's Paul's brother. Amen. This is Paul's brother. This is our messenger.
Yeah.
Our messenger. The one God sent to us through the Apostle Paul. That's how they were supposed to receive him. He did it and was nigh unto death. Now, I want to tell you something. That's a man that is not. Verse 21, for all seek their own and the things, not the things which are Jesus Christ. There's a man that's opposite of that right there. If he was seeking his own, he'd have pulled over somewhere and said, I'm going to take care of myself before I go Philippi. I'm going to make sure that I'm took care of.
Yep.
He could care less about his own body, his own health. He wanted to bring the message to the Philippians. How strongly a desire do you and I have to take the message to those that need it? That's the kind of servant Christ wants us to be. Just like Epaphroditus, just like Timothy. Amen. All right, I'm done this evening. God bless your heart. Thank you for being here. You know, I know few men of God that have had physical breakdown, and it was because of their desire to minister to the people they were ministering to. Men having physical breakdowns. But keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Instead of, just, like I said, seeking their own. God bless you. God bless you. Lord, help us to be servants to our Lord. Amen. A true servant. like Christ. Like Christ. Be a servant that can be sent. Don't be looking to do and then figuring out how to be a servant. Be a servant. Christ will put you what you need to do. Amen. Laura, I want you to stand. I'm done this evening.